Philippians for the last few weeks. Just a reminder of what's been happening. Paul's talking to the church in Philippi, and he's sharing from his jail cell. He's in prison. He's there for a reason. He's there for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Has it stopped him? No, it hasn't. He's been sharing that good news with his jailers, and he has seen the fruit of the Spirit of God at work there. I'd like to just read a couple of verses from Philippians 1 as we begin to consider what Paul has to say to us this morning through the Word of God. I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father, we're here this morning to hear what you have to say through your word. Father, my prayer is that you'd forgive me. I'm a sinner. I pray that you would use me to proclaim your word, even though I am a sinner. But I'm a sinner who's been forgiven, and that I know my redemption is real and true and pure because of what Jesus has done for me. And so I pray that as these words are spoken, that you'd open all our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what you're having to say to your church this morning. And may we leave this place rejoicing in you, our Saviour and our Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Ian, for reading from Philippians 3. We're going to focus on a very small part of Philippians, and this sermon will be over in 2 minutes. Rejoice in the Lord. Thank you very much. Why do you laugh? Isn't that all we need to do? Isn't that what life's all about? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he calls you to rejoice in the Lord. Do you know how many times we're told to rejoice in the Lord in my translation of the Bible? Anybody know? No? No? No! Keep going. No, would you believe nine? Nine times. And seven of those are in the Old Testament. Two in the New Testament. Where are those two found? Philippians. But seven of the occurrences of rejoicing in the Lord are found in the Old Testament. I found that interesting. We'll get into that further in a minute or two. But first, let me share something with you. In my life with Shirley, we have bought 9 houses. The first 6 were owned by the bank, as a lot of you probably have experienced in your past or may be experiencing now. So the first 6 houses were owned by the bank. The 7th house we were able to pay cash for. That was an exciting day. We were so happy to be able to pay cash for a house. We were rejoicing. We moved into our house. Now let me tell you a little bit about this house. It was a 100-year-old miner's cottage. It had been renovated, it had been updated, it had new plumbing, new electrical, and various other new parts. So Shirley and I moved into this new house in a country town in Victoria. It was February, so it was hot. If you know anything about Victoria's summers, they get up to 40 or more degrees on a regular basis. So it was hot in February. We moved into the house with great excitement. The first thing that happened, the air conditioning failed. We had to replace it at no small cost. That was fine though, we were in our own house, we owned it, and we had new air conditioning. It was great, nice and cool. A couple of months later, the rainy season arrived. Guess what? The roof leaked. Part of the roof had been replaced, part of it was the original roof from 100 years before. It leaked. So we had to get the roof replaced at no small cost. But we still felt the joy. It was still there a little bit. It was good to own our own house. Winter arrived. My wife Shirley suffers badly from the cold. The aircon was reverse cycle, but it wasn't enough to keep the house warm. So we installed a ducted gas heating system at considerable cost. So that solved that problem. The joy was still there. That was fading a little bit more. Then one day I was walking down the west side of the house, and as you know, I have a problem with balance at times. And I was walking down the side of this house, and I put my elbow out to steady myself, and I sunk into the weatherboard. You shouldn't sink into weatherboards. No, there was a problem, dry rot on the west side of the building. Had to replace most of the weatherboards along that wall. But the joy was still there. It just seemed to be on a up and down scale. And that is the way it is with our possessions, with our relationships, with our positions in life. It's always on an up and down scale. Another example. One of the companies I worked for at one stage gave us a bonus of company shares, which was very nice of them. And after a couple of years, I sold those shares and bought myself a nice car. As you know, I like cars. This was a nice car. It cost quite a bit of money. And I parked it at work one day on the Sunshine Coast, and we had the worst hailstorm we have ever experienced. 45 minutes of hail. Guess what the car looked like at the end of that? Yep. It got fixed eventually. They had to bring a new part in from overseas for the bonnet, but eventually it got fixed. The joy was still there, but it was fading once again, like the house. Then one night I'd been working about 16 hours for a day, and I was going home late at night, and the car was parked in the basement car park of the place I was working. I hopped into my car, very tired, and reversed straight into a pillar. It's amazing what you can do to destroy the joy you have in your possessions. The car got fixed eventually, but the joy was a bit less. How was my joy? It was being destroyed by the things of this world, being destroyed by the world. It was dependent upon something being right and working properly. And that never happens with our possessions. It never happens with our relationships. It never happens with our positions in life. They do not last long. This world has a built-in redundancy with all its possessions. Everything that is made these days is made to break down. So you have to buy a new one. What happens when you lose all your possessions? When you lose your relationships? When you lose your position? When you find yourself unemployed? Are you still able to rejoice? All depends where your joy comes from, isn't it? If your joy is in the things you own, you're going to find yourself miserable so often. But there is one joy which is unlosable, which is unbreakable, which is unshakable, which will never fail you, will never be lost by you. And that is the joy of knowing Jesus. Paul reminds us of that in Philippians chapter 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. That is the only way to know real joy and to protect yourself from being miserable because of what life will bring your way. So rejoice in the Lord and watch out for those who would add to the gospel. Because if you find someone adding to the gospel, what are they going to do? If you listen to them, they're going to reduce your joy because they're human and they're probably wrong. If they add to the gospel, they certainly are wrong because we're told nothing is nothing to be added to the gospel. So watch out for those false teachers. And all that really matters in our lives is knowing Jesus. I looked up the dictionary definition of rejoice, and it said this: it is to feel or express great happiness. To feel or express great happiness. Many times in my life, I've felt great happiness at what the world's given me. My wife, my homes, cars, family. They brought me great happiness. But there's always been a rocky road of valleys and mountaintops. Life brings hard times as well as good times, as we've all experienced. And it's only in Jesus that we can know a consistent, level, perfect joy. It's only found in Jesus, and it coexists in all circumstances. It doesn't matter whether life has given you a bed of roses or a bed of thorns. Jesus is consistent in his love for you. No matter what's happening in your life, you can still rejoice in Jesus. Because he alone is true, does not change. He's same today, tomorrow, and always. Now, circumstances change. It's a very sickle force of joy if you rely on circumstances to be your source of joy. You can't depend on them for anything, really. The only permanent, dependable source of joy is a relationship with Jesus. So how do we express this joy? How do you show that you are rejoicing in the Lord? How do we show our great happiness in knowing Jesus? Any clues? You're allowed to interact with me, by the way. I'm quite open to you saying things. How do we rejoice in the Lord? It's easily said, but how do we do it? Speak up, I'm deaf. Praise? In what way? Singing. Well, thank you, Bev. Very good. Let's start with singing. I'll take you to Psalm 32. Verse 11 says, rejoice in the Lord. One of the nine occurrences of rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise him with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. All right. People, let me get my phone. I need it for a second. You've just been singing a couple of songs. Do you remember them? Can you recite the chorus of the first one to me? Oh, now you're cheating because you know it. Anyone? How did the chorus of that one go? He's the rock of our salvation. What's the next line? We will trust and be not afraid. He is the sure and firm foundation when every other ground gives way. He's the rock of our salvation. We will trust and be not afraid. He's the sure and firm foundation
when every other ground gives way. We sang those words. Do you believe them? I pray that you do. Okay. Not I, but Christ in me. Anybody remember the choruses in that one? Not you, Jill. It doesn't have one? Yes. Let me give you the first line of each of the ones that is called the chorus. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Praise God for that. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. We can rejoice in our Lord as we sing songs to him. But please, people, think about what you're singing. Don't just make a noise. Make it purposeful. May it touch your hearts when you praise God with song. May the words mean something to you. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Nothing else really matters in this world but knowing Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. Let's leap further into Scripture, if I can find my places without losing them. Need something that sticks. Isaiah 29, verses 17 to 19. Reads like this. In a very short time will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. How else can we rejoice in the Lord? By being thankful. By being thankful for all that we have, all that he's done for us, all that he's giving us. We can be thankful that we can gather together here this morning as children of God, rejoicing that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord. We can be thankful for everything that God brings our way. Because the scripture tells us God works together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Everything that happens in our lives, if you are a follower of Jesus, is for your good. God is teaching you something. God is changing you to be more like Jesus. Everything that happens in your life has a purpose if you are a follower of Jesus. And we can be thankful for them. Now that's hard. It's hard to be thankful when you lose a loved one. It's hard to be thankful when you lose your job. It's hard to be thankful when everything around you is falling apart. But God says, hey, I'm the one who's in charge. If you trust me, then trust what I'm doing in your life. Believe that everything in your life has a purpose. Be thankful. We read in Isaiah 41, 11 to 16. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Thankfulness. God is in control.
I'm taking you for a walk through the scripture, I know, but it's important that we know what God is saying about all this. Joel chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. Do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Do not be afraid, you wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. We have so much to be thankful for. And one of my favourite passages, not the one from Micah, Bennett's all right, but from Habakkuk or Habakkuk. We're reading from chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You know it well. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. That's a picture of just about desolation, isn't it? And what are his next words? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. No matter what is happening in life, rejoice in the Lord. So how do we praise God? How do we show our joy for Jesus? By singing, by being thankful. Thirdly, by being dependent and being obedient. Let's look at Psalm 64 and a couple of verses there, or one verse only. The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. All the upright in heart will glory in him. So, are we righteous and upright? If your trust is in Jesus, God sees you as righteous. If you're obedient to his word, God sees you as upright. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. No matter what happens in our lives, whether it's good or bad, we are still loved by God. He is the only fully consistent, never failing, always caring Lord of all. And we can have confidence in him, and we can depend on him for all that we need. And all that we are and all that we do, we can rejoice in the Lord. But Paul goes on to tell us something else. He tells us to watch out for dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. Paul loves strong words. Have you noticed that? He just loves strong words. So, who are these dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh that Paul speaks so strongly about? The understanding is that they're Judaizers. They are Jews who believe that to be a Christian, you have to also follow the Old Testament laws and regulations. So they are insisting that to be a true believer, you must also be circumcised. And that's why Paul is calling them mutilators of the flesh, because it is not so. We do not need to be circumcised to be true believers. It's a shame Hayden's not here. Is he still learning how to drive, or has he got his license yet? Is he over there? No. So why isn't Hayden here? Because I was going to use him as an illustration. Hayden's learning how to drive. Imagine if Hayden's driving instructor added his own rules to the road laws. Imagine if he said, when you come to a stop sign, I want you to stop, which is good, wait 1 minute, and then go. But he also said the same thing for a give way sign. Stop, wait 1 minute, and then go. And the same thing for a roundabout. When you get to a roundabout, stop, wait 1 minute, I know a lot of you do already, and then go. What would happen? There would be mass confusion, there would be mass delays, and there would be a lot of angry, frustrated people. If we all stopped at every stop sign, give way sign, and roundabout and waited a minute before we went anywhere. The laws are there for a reason, to ease traffic flow and to keep us safe. If we start adding to them, we start creating problems. And these Judaizers were creating problems by adding the Old Testament ceremonial laws to salvation. We're told that the only way to be saved is to believe in Jesus. Confess our sins, repent of them, believe that Jesus has died in our place, and commit our lives to following God. That is the gospel. If you add anything to it, you are a dog, an evildoer, a mutilator of the flesh. So be careful. We don't want to be known as that. A true believer, Paul goes on to describe what a true believer is. It is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. We worship by the Spirit of God, we glory in Jesus, and we do not put our confidence in the things of this world. Our confidence is in Jesus alone, for his finished work on the cross for our redemption. Read you another couple of portions of Philippians 1:27-30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the others. I was reminded just the other day by someone about joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. There's true joy for you. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. Time is running away. I will quickly cover the last section. Paul warns us to have Jesus first. In verse 7 he says, but whatever were gains to me I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Jesus above all. Nothing else is important. Our possessions, our relationships are nothing compared to knowing Jesus. I've got a number of passages here I'd like to read to you. We have got time. It's only 10 o'clock. In Hebrews, we read these words. Hebrews 10:33-36. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We see better and lasting possessions in the promises of God compared to the promises of the world. In 1 John 3 verse 17 we read these words, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" The word tells us to hold on to our earthly possessions lightly. They are of no importance in the big scheme of things. The only thing that's really important is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a simple message from Paul, but it's a very important one. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's who we rejoice in. It's not our circumstances, not our relationships. They can fluctuate sometimes between good, sometimes bad. We need to guard the truth of the gospel. That's part of our rejoicing. Rejoice in honoring the truth of the gospel. Do not let anyone add to it. Do not let anyone lead you astray by trying to teach you something other than the gospel. Our bodies die, but our soul is eternal. So our task is to honor Jesus above all else and to rejoice in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have called us to be your children. We thank you that you have given us a reason for rejoicing, that we can know that we are redeemed, that we do have an eternity with you, our God, to be in your very presence, to see you face to face. What a great thing that is, Father. How much joy that brings to our hearts, to our minds, as we contemplate being in your presence forever. Being able to worship you, to praise you, to honor you, to rejoice in you. We thank you, Father, that you've called us and that you've redeemed us by the blood of Jesus, that we know we are his children because your Spirit is at work in our lives. And we pray that we may indeed reflect the love of Jesus in every moment of every day as we rejoice in him and him alone. May our circumstances not affect our joy to be believers and to know that Jesus loves us. Pray this in his name. Amen. We're going to continue rejoicing.